Hey there, AfterBuzzers. You're watching the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Law & Order Special Victims Unit, Season 18, Episode 20 and 21. Stay tuned as we give you our thoughts about this big season finale.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Bringing it in, you guys. Watching live right now, you just missed a really sick dance party by me and
totally cut to it.
Me and Jesse, well, oh, good, Steven, thank you. Okay, guys, one of our favorite times of the year, but also, you know, it's bittersweet. Yes, continuing it, because season finale, that's right, season 18, episode 20 and 21, we're talking American Dream and Sanctuary for Law & Order Special Victims Unit, and you guys know me. I'm Lauren Salon. You can find me everywhere online at Lauren Salon. I have the live chat up, and there's a ton of you in here.
Yeah.
Ooh, and I'm with my guy Jesse.
What's up? Everyone can hit me up at DJ Jesse J.
Love it. Okay, before we dive on in, we're gonna, you know, go through our like our rules here and stuff. Want to make sure you guys know, and I can recognize a ton of our, you know, our regulars in the chat and stuff. But for those of you listening or watching later, you know that Law & Order deals with some sensitive subject matter, so we just want to give you guys a little bit of a content warning right now that we're going to be talking about these sensitive issues. We may make jokes about them. We may not always deal with things super sensitively in our handling of them, so just want to let you know in case you need to duck out or anything. And then we also want to give you a hotline in case you or anybody you know is going through anything, you know, related to this type of stuff. And we've got the hotline for RAIN. That's a Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. And that phone number is 1-800-656-HOPE. That's 1-800-656-HOPE, which is 4673. All righty. Okay, so we've got a two-parter here. So hour and a half, really. So
really
2 hours.
Should have been one episode, dick.
Yeah, really. Very aggressive.
Sorry, dick.
We're dealing with a two-part season finale here, and basically we'll run through real quick our, like, you know, a really tight version of the plot for you. So we've got a hate crime committed toward a Muslim family that owns a restaurant. Some masked gunmen come in, rape the two daughters. The husband or the dad ends up dying as a result. One of the girls ends up dying, and...
Which, great scene. Like, not to be like, great scene. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, true. We can jump in more if we want. Sorry. I was just going to get...
Well, because... Go ahead.
Oh, no.
I agree with you. Like, I just, like, honestly, like, I was really like, this is a movie. Like, remember the one... Was it from last season? The townhouse one? Where Liv went up to the woman with the door? And the guy was holding the gun up to the woman's head.
I think so.
Did the trailer, and it was like, it looked like it was going to be so cinematic. Like,
yeah.
I felt like we got that. Like, I don't know if they use a different camera or something. Like, there was something different about the intro.
In the stuff that I read, I agree with that completely. Watching it too, I mean, we all love that, those juicy opening scenes, you know, when you see the crime and you're like, ooh, how gnarly is it going to be and all that. And generally, like, I think lately we haven't been super impressed with things. We're hoping for a little more intensity. Yeah. This one, watching it, I was like, oh, this is a little uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, they're getting it. Yeah, I think they did it really well. And some of the things I was reading, people agree with that it felt different than our normal opening scenes, which can either be cheesy or you don't see much. But this one was like, they stuck with it for a while. For sure.
And then to have it, like, kind of in association to everything that's happening in the world today, like, it just was kind of like, wait, SBU. And we got a little Trump comment in there, too, this time.
Yeah, we had a lot of political commentary, like, little nuggets sprinkled throughout, for sure. So we've got, you know, this hate crime toward the family. Things get really complicated because the one witness, who turns out to be the mom's brother, he is there illegally. You know, he's not a legal immigrant, doesn't have documentation, and is getting unexpectedly deported. And so it throws a whole wrench in the situation. This becomes a much bigger case than, like, I mean, already it's a double homicide or double rape, double homicide. And it becomes a much bigger thing than that, because we're involving, like, things on a federal level two with immigration.
I just love that they're having the conversation. I love when they touch on stuff like this, because it's like, this is such a hard conversation to have with certain people, because a lot of people don't understand, you know, what it's like to be an immigrant coming mm-hmm. from another country. So I'm glad that a show like this, you know, even though the 2 hours was like a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that the conversation, I'm glad that SVU tries to have certain conversations, or like try to like open the door to it, right, and show, you know what I mean? Like, okay, yes, we're talking about immigrants, people who are undocumented here, but at the same time, they are humans, and showing mm-hmm. how it affects just sending somebody home like that and how it affects so many different people. So I appreciated that part of it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think... I really like how the show deals with sensitive issues and does try to put them in a light that is trying to educate to a certain mm-hmm. extent, and I think speak generally most of the time from like what maybe is quote unquote right, yeah, or like the better option or direction to look at something. And but then too, leaving things open-ended or showing at the end of an episode that it doesn't always get resolved. Right. Like our people, like our cast and the protagonists and stuff may be doing what is right or is like noble, and then it may not work in their favor in the end, which I think is how life goes,
like,
too.
Have you ever heard of a sanctuary city like that before?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
A lot of big cities are sanctuary cities.
Like, so it's just like, just overlook certain things.
Or... Well, so what that kind of means, so with, it's interesting because, I don't know like all the intricacies of immigration mm-hmm. law or anything like that, but immigration is a federal issue. And there are sanctuary cities or counties that, so when, if somebody is, so like ICE, you know, who deals with immigration, that's a federal law enforcement uh-huh. arm. And obviously we're dealing with a crime on the county or city level or state level, even with what's going on there. And federal gets involved because there's an illegal status thing happening. But for sanctuary cities, when something comes up with immigration or if somebody's being detained or something like that, and the federal government wants to possibly deport them, they will send like a request to that county or that city or whoever's detaining that person to request that they turn them over so that they can then take over with the deportation illegal,
which is why Liv was so easy stuff. To be able at the end to be like, never mind, because she never gave the girl's name.
Yeah, okay, exactly. And so they, like the federal officials, need the help of local police to enforce immigration laws, and some, like, sanctuary cities are not, they don't okay. necessarily, like, they aren't really going to okay. go along that with those. Sense. But then some are more, will work more with the federal government. So it's like a tricky thing because they have to work together. But mm-hmm. some cities are, like, more safe havens for undocumented workers. But it is something, it's interesting because immigration is a federal issue, but cities and counties have some control over whether, you know, if they're detaining someone, if they're going to grant that request to give them to them.
That's interesting.
So I thought it was actually interesting that now we're jumping ahead a little bit. But when ICE got involved, one, I think it was so stupid of them to, like, we have one witness in our case and it's like a hot topic that's going on for immigration and Muslim, like, rights and all this stuff that's happening, that they like go walk around a freaking protest. Yeah. I'm like, hey guys, maybe like keep him inside for a little while until this blows over, you know? And so they go down there and obviously he's going to get, like, something's going to happen there. And so with that, it was interesting because he's not being held on a crime.
Right.
He's being held voluntarily, essentially, to help with the crime. But then that, like, the requesting, and I don't know what the rules are in that situation, but based on what I'm reading, it seems like if he's in local custody and hasn't committed a crime, then ICE wouldn't have been involved in that way. But
I, like, at that moment when they were arguing back and forth with the guy at the whatever, what was that, the loading, that at, was that the airport?
The airport or at the holding place afterwards?
Holding place. And he said to them, you know, you guys need to leave and all this stuff. And they were so, or he didn't even care that, you know, she was like, this is a double murder or whatever. And he was just sitting there like, yeah. At that point, I was like, oh, is this like a government thing? Like, was this like on a bigger level? And then it was just him being a dick. And it was just kind of like, well, okay, so NYPD can't pull any type of string to be like,
and that's where it seemed like it wouldn't happen that way, because he wasn't the one. Yes, he's committing a crime by being undocumented.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's helping to solve a few, like, much bigger crimes. Like, okay, he hasn't committed any violent crimes or anything like that, but he is a material witness for a double rape and a double homicide. I really think that the two law enforcement branches would work together in some way.
And versus being, and it would be such like, a quick okay, turnover of like, oh, yeah, he left 10 minutes. It would be ago, like,
okay, then we will, like, once that case is done, then we're kicking his ass out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, they'd still probably get him out of here, but they want to, like, you know, if someone's killing people and, like, they want to figure that out. And if they could have dropped, like, BT-dub, like, another undocumented person was involved and we're trying to get this one to help, you know, because if they're so like, oh, undocumented, get him and get him right out, then they'd be like, oh, this guy's gonna help that guy, okay, cool, okay, fine, and then we'll take them both,
right,
you know.
Yeah, so, but it was a little SV, you know, SV has their little weekly slip-ups.
Yes, exactly. So that was seemed a little like unrealistic. I mean, I've never gone through that, I don't know how it really works, but it seemed a little silly to me in that regard. And yes, so New York is a sanctuary city county, so they have a ton of undocumented or illegal immigrants, and will generally like not be as willing to work with the federal government on like turning them over.
Ariadne Bene said, I want to know what happened to the brother. I agree, we got a 2-hour episode, like I would have been intrigued, like, and then for them to go in the depth of, like, he's gay, he has to go back home, like, was he killed when he went back home? Like, is, like, right, what happened
see,
with that?
See, but not enough time really passed. Like, it was like, oh, he landed.
Yeah.
Like, you know? So, but I agree that we had so much time to use in this episode. It could have, like, things could have, court cases don't happen that damn fast. Like, come on, you know? Like, or, you know, things aren't settled that quickly. We could have had, like, oh, a week later or 2 weeks later, and we hear that he dies, mm-hmm, or something like that, I think would have added to the drama of it. What was I going to say about – I forget. I felt like I had something really great to add to it. Oh, well, and, like, for Texas – so – as far with sanctuary city stuff, so San Francisco.
When Barbara, I lost who said it.
Oh, the
when
chats.
Barbara said,
Barbara was so sassy.
Oh my God, Meryl, I loved when Barbara goes, "What are you going to do? Send me to Cuba and send Carisi to Italy?"
Yeah, I know.
Barbara, you kill me.
You kill me. Okay,
golden girl.
So, oh yeah, I have an all caps. Why did they leave and go toward a protest? And okay, we've got a little you know, not a special guest, but I guess a little special guest.
We didn't get Stabler.
Yeah, WTF was that? We got what's his name, Lopez, Detective Lopez from the Hate Crimes Unit. He was an addition to the squad this week. We also had, and I need to find her name right now, but one of the women from Orange Is the New Black played the one of the attackers, the rapist murderer's wives.
Oh.
Did you recognize her? Blonde. She's one of, like, the meth heads.
Oh.
In it.
She looked familiar, but
yeah.
I wasn't. Orange Is the New Black lost me.
Oh.
I need to get back into
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Revisit that.
Another topic.
Rollins. I kind of loved Rollins. Like, and maybe Liv will appreciate this too. I mean, I don't, or not Liv. Yell, I just called you Liv.
Wow, that's a aunt right there.
Okay. How do you feel about that? Tell us later. I know you're in London right now, but tell us later how you feel about that, because I didn't even realize it. Aw. So I feel like Yell would appreciate Rollins in this episode, because she was so like using the kids as leverage for everybody. They're like, well, I guess we're just going to call social services and take those kids away from you. Like, to everybody. like to, what's his name? Hector Ramirez's wife. And just, like, pulling that out all the time. I thought it was ridiculous. She was
but
just
it
like,
was boss chick of her. And then especially yeah. when she, like, forced the woman, the wife down onto the thing and was like, get your act together and take care of your kid.
Yeah. Like, she was like using, throwing right. those kids around, like leverage.
Everyone like, was, though, honestly. The only one that wasn't was Carisi. Carisi was like, wait, are we serious? We're going to do this here? Huh? Really? Ice was like, yeah. Wow, Liv, for real? And yeah, I love that Liv pulled the boss move of like, I'm not going to let you know. Maybe. Maybe mm-hmm. not. That's why I'm a boss.
Yeah. Love it. Oh, man. I'm looking at the chat a little bit. Okay. So, yeah, we've got, you know, using deportation and using the kids as leverage. I like those moves because they're, like, tricky mm-hmm. moves. So that's fun to see that drama. Okay, so we've got Hector Ramirez, who is fired, and he is identified by... why am I forgetting his name? By Yusef, so the brother, as being at the restaurant, but not having done anything. However, he's still, like, guilty, and, you know, he's an accessory to all of it. So it's not like he's like, oh, well, you didn't rape or murder them, so you're okay. No, I'm sorry. He still goes down for that stuff. But he was, you know, in cahoots with Mitch and Steven.
But did this story make sense to you? Like, it was just really weird. Like, it was just like you met these two guys. They were like, yeah, they're fucking racist, so you're gonna team up together. No. Like, mind you, they're calling you a beaner the whole time.
Yeah, and
like,
he's pissed. But no, because they wouldn't want to team up with him because he's there illegally and Hispanic.
No, he wasn't. His wife was.
Oh, okay.
Or girlfriend. Oh, not the. I guess
yeah, but still, like yeah. they wouldn't.
Well, I mean, they
I don't feel
did,
like they'd in be real, chill
yeah,
with
yeah.
that.
I don't understand. I just don't understand. It was just, it did. I wasn't, it just didn't come off believable at all, to be quite honest. Like, anything that was happening was just like, wait, what is happening? Why? And then, like, just the anger coming out of these men's mouths.
Yeah.
Like, sir, you're giving yourself away. Like, you sound racist as hell.
Yeah. And that's not to say, so I realize, too, we are in Los Angeles, which not only is, like, LA jumps on any sort of controversy or issue, not to say this kind of stuff is not important right. at all, but jumps onto everything and is like hyper aware of all these things, but also doesn't necessarily deal with the same level, like that kind of stuff that yeah. that guy's saying where you might find in other.
But this is New York though.
And
like,
yeah. And
too,
this,
like,
and
this
so that was weird to me that it was in New York City. And like this guy was, I'm like, where the hell did they find this? Yeah. This hick, you know?
Okay. Like, yeah, it was barefoot in the bar, y'all. Like, yeah. Wait a minute, what?
It
really...
So it did seem a little kind of thrown together, that yeah. part. I agree with that.
And then it was like, oh, you're going to rob them for... Like, how did you convince these two All-American guys, like, oh, they have... Like, how much money could this restaurant really have in it for you to, like, break into it and be like, yeah, we're going to rob the place? Like, really?
Yeah.
No, it's just weird.
Well, I mean, it started like for Hector as like revenge. He's yeah. unemployed or had to switch stuff. So, okay, let's go steal something. They're like, whatever, this will be fun. F them Muslims, you know?
Crazy. Ignorance lives everywhere, people.
Yeah, this is true. his quote, Mexicans love tequila and raping. Just ask the president. I was like, that is such a stupid line and like so ridiculous.
But then to fling it back, boomerang it to hit, like, Trump too was kind of funny.
I was like, oh my gosh. So I'm looking at the newts. So it was interesting that so Maya, our mother, she is testifying, and she when Hector dies, so Hector gets killed outside of, you know, after they announce the indictment of the other two, and he dies. So like so many people died, and there were so many like violent issues happening. And she changes, our mother changes her story to be like, oh, he took off his mask. They took off their masks and stuff. And I saw their faces, like, da, 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 you know. And then also says that she, on the stand, that she called Liv and told her about that, which really, like, puts Liv in such an awkward position, because Liv either has to say, oh, my witness is a liar, and, like, take some of the credibility out of their case, or Liv has to lie. And, you know, she's, like, not about that life.
Well, Liv said, you know, sometimes you gotta do something that you never wanted to do before.
Exactly.
I call ice.
And I thought it was interesting that Barbara, because Barbara tends to be very much, like, by the book, you know, and he was suggesting that she maybe bend the truth a little bit, you know. He's like, you know, maybe, like, she's just forgetting the time that happened in between the call and this, and maybe you just, like, are a little flexible with that. I was surprised at his position on that.
Well, because it's just like a shit out of luck kind of situation, you know. It's like their only witness, they know what happened and they have no way to prove it. And it's like this one little, like, white lie, just because the guy's dead now. You know what I mean? Play a little fair.
Yeah.
You know, nudge you up there. Come on.
But yeah, how would they have been able to prove that she was lying? No.
They wouldn't if Hector was alive, though.
Right. Yeah, so no one would have been able to prove it, but it's Liv would look bad because she's like, oh, yeah, she did call me. Right. I forgot to mention, like, that, really? And say that, no, you know?
That's not professional.
And then it, like, you know, takes her credibility down a notch. So, but we do have the other wife changing her story to the truth. And, you know, because we've got, like, special victims left and right here. So that wife's being abused and beaten and stuff like that. And so she finally fesses up to the truth with some prodding from Rollins.
That her man wasn't there.
Yeah, that he wasn't there. And there we go. We start, you know, getting things back on track here.
What about when, what's his name, said to Rollins, get me a lawyer, bitch.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, hell no, you didn't. And
she I loved that whole scene. It was just so, yes.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm watching Shades of Blue.
I know. She that was awesome. And I just loved Rollins in this episode. She was so, like, feisty and, old, like, Liv, scrappy. Yeah, so I liked her being like, oh, what? And I thought she was going to deck him for sure. Okay, so we've got all that, and then we close the episode, and we had some daddy dods throughout the episode. In the beginning, you know, he's speaking very, like, I can't believe this is happening in our city, this is America, these are, you know, all these kind of, like, cliche lines, I feel like, that aren't like, they weren't bad lines or bad perspective for him to have, but they were a little cheesy.
And I just think, like, could have done without,
just, like,
him
thrown in there. Yeah. And he comes back in the end and says that a mosque was just firebombed. So, you know, this whole episode was dealing with, especially bringing it to, like, involving the federal government and law enforcement and stuff, is dealing with really big issues that are happening, you know, in real life right now. And so I think that it did a really good job of having a lot of drama and uncertainty and then some resolution to a certain extent with the issue we were dealing with, like the incidents. And then also showing, like, oh, but just because we've, like, figured out what happened here, this is by no means, like, an isolated event or the end of it, you know. So that was our, like, kind of open-ended, you know, makes you think sort of thing. Though I feel like this was an uncharacteristic finale.
Yeah, no, it was just, and it didn't leave me, like, okay, going into season 19, like,
yeah, you weren't on the edge of your seat. It was more like a calm,
yeah,
oh, sadness.
Yeah, like
the state of the world, you know.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this how we end it? Oh, yeah.
And I read an article or an interview. Still not local? Okay. What?
Liv's still not on. Okay, we aren't there. Okay.
I read an interview with Raul Esparza, our Barba, and he even said, you know, this is different from what I've been used to over the last few seasons, but not wrong in relationship to this particular story because it's not resolved. The ending of this season is about putting very painful and morally dubious issues in front of an audience and letting them reverberate. It ends a little bit like a blast from a bomb. And this article came out before the episode aired. And I'm like, can't say it ends like a blast from a bomb when literally that's how the episode ends. Yeah. And it's not something big that happens at the very end. It's just this sense of that ringing in your ears. Oh. So I thought that was, a good explanation of it. And they realized too, like it wasn't like that big, like cliffhanger or super dramatic, like when Liv's held hostage or Baby Dodds died last year, like all this
stuff.
They're like,
we know you're going to be back.
See ya. They're like, you know what? This season was like a C+, maybe.
So we're going to go out with that.
So we're just going to leave it at that steady middle ground for you.
Consistent.
What do you guys think in the... Oh, there's a lot of conversation going on that I... Yeah. Lots of conversations happening in the chat. So I agree. And I was a little surprised that none of the police force had... Like, everyone was on the same page with the political situation. Our whole department and the detectives, and aside from immigration, but they're doing their job. But no one was... like internally really disagreed. And I feel like in real life, you probably wouldn't have as many, like you wouldn't all be in agreement, like about what was going on.
I feel like
they
tried to do that with like, you're really going to call Liv. Like, I feel like they tried to, but like, even like everyone's talking about the, that new officer, mm-hmm. the Cuban guy.
Yeah.
Lopez. Wanting him back. Like, yeah. I could see him on the squad.
He has such like a gnarly voice.
Oh, when he gets aggressive.
When he first came in, I was like, oh. I've noticed, this is so random, but I have noticed too that Liv, like every other episode, or in this one, it was like the second episode, sounds a little raspy.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that at all? I'm like, Liv sounds like she has a cold this week. Or like, that was very clear. Like episode one, she's like herself, normal. And then episode two... or the second hour, I'm like, Liv sounds like she's been talking a lot.
You guys, Liv needs a vacation.
Yeah.
All right. More worried. A little worried.
Yeah. So I thought that maybe we would have seen a little bit more dissonance, not from just, because I think their conflict internally was more about how to handle the case.
Yeah.
Like it was, they were just using different leverage points and threats, but I don't know were real in any way.
I agree with that. And if it was like a different squad but like, I just feel like they've been working together for so long, these specific, you know, four or five people, that it's like, they're all kind of the same heartbeat. They all kind of work mm-hmm. for the same guy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like they work for the good guy, not the bad guy. So it's kind of like, I don't see that conversation coming up between like Rollins, Carisi, and all them that. But that's why I think they had to add the element in of
like an outsider
Ice being like, "No, you guys can't."
Yeah, yeah, yep. Yeah. I agree. Okay, so any more like plot things we want to discuss?
No, I mean honestly, it really could have been an hour episode.
Yeah,
and like the way that it came out, like just could have. This is one of those episodes you could have chopped certain things up and had us been like, well, you know.
Yeah, I very much agree with that. It felt long and so political, like, which is not, whatever, that's fine. But it felt, and not political, like.
They were not political enough with a purpose.
Yeah, like, it was just like, I was just getting tired of like the not too very much action, even though we did have so many people like dying throughout it.
Yeah, it was a weird tone of how they carried it.
Just like dragged. I think if it was 1 hour, it would have been super tight and like intense.
Impact. Next season, Dick.
Yeah. So, okay, then let's move on to some like news and stuff. Oh my gosh.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Whoa, you like scared me with that. So, you guys
AfterBuzz TV. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Stephen in the booth with these zingers. So, you guys, we have a new showrunner for season 19. Michael Chernuchin, if I'm saying that right, is going to be our new showrunner. He has worked on, he's very familiar with our Law & Order franchises. He's worked on Law & Order Criminal Intent, 24, Black Sails, which I love. I mean, I love 24 too. Yeah. Rogue, and also Chicago Justice, which was canceled after one episode, but it's part of that whole Chicago franchise. So he's like, you know, he knows like that crew, the Law & Order crew. So hopeful that things, you know, will, because I don't know that everyone was super jazzed about this
showrunner
season. This season, people, who knows, you know, I mean, not placing blame, but I think they're, you know, feeling hopeful for sure for new showrunner, I would say. And,
just connect the dots.
Yeah, exactly.
Connect the dots from last season to next season.
So
Everyone was asleep this season.
Yeah, and hopefully we see some oh gosh, I'm kicking things under the table. Hopefully we see some of those storylines kind of come back, that those nuggets, those seeds that were planted. Shauna says AfterBuzz got a new sound effects budget.
Those are actually really old, but
yeah. Steven just knows where
they are.
All right, you swabbies. What do you got?
Oh, that's exciting. I think that is the main bit of news I had. I had an article that was about the kind of Sanctuary City stuff. And then, you know, this kind of isn't necessarily ripped from the headlines, but, you know, Trump did, when he first came into office, put a like ban on Muslim travel into the country. And that only lasted a couple months. So it's touching on that. And then, of course, we did see those like nuggets of those kind of little jabs sprinkled throughout.
But what I thought was interesting, too, is like obviously every week we're dealing with rape. But then to still deal with it, but then bring it to this level, was
rape, homosexuality, immigration.
Like, stuffing that turkey on in there.
Hate crimes. Like, we got all of them.
Just bombings. About. Like, it was just a lot. Yeah. Hostage situation.
Yeah.
Negotiations. Like, okay.
There was a lot of stuff. Yeah. Domestic abuse.
Shot in the head through a sniper. Like, all right.
So many things.
There was spicing it up, NBC.
Oh my gosh. Our chat, you guys, they're like, it was a meh out of 10. Someone else, this season was a shrug out of 10.
It was.
Yeah, I agree.
If this season was a meme, it would be that girl that's like,
yeah.
And if you guys are listening on iTunes, rate us 5 stars and then go look at that.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. That's a beautiful segue. Why don't we then talk about iTunes a little bit? You guys. Gosh, so abrupt. You guys, as you know, many of you are watching live on YouTube right now. And if you are not subscribed, which y'all better be, hit that subscribe button so you get notified when we go live for not just this show, but all the shows. And comment, talk in the chat, all that good stuff. You guys also subscribe on iTunes and SoundCloud. And when you're over in iTunes, leave us a review with 5 stars and a nice little write-up. And as you know, if you leave some emojis in there, I'll do my best to interpret
it emojis
when I'm reading the reviews. And we do have one new review. Yay! Today.
Someone did their homework.
Thank you. Let's pull it up.
Final review of the season.
Final review of the season. Okay. But if you leave them when we go on break and you leave us more reviews and we come back to them, we will catch up on them. Don't you worry.
So that season 19, episode 1. Load them up, guys.
Yeah, get ready for that. Okay. So this one is by SVU Fangirl 19 and it is titled Love This Panel! Exclamation points. And then heart, heart, heart. And it's 5 stars. Love this after show and love watching you guys every week. I love hearing what others thought of the episodes. You guys are by far my favorite after show. Also, if you guys are reviewing old episodes, I suggest season 3, episode 14, Counterfeit. It's the very first appearance of Tucker. Heart, heart, heart. Smiley, smiley, smiley.
Thumbs up. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. And it was a smiley with the eyes like that. So that's why I did that. Anyway. zoom in on that. Thanks. And put it on loop.
Don't tell Steven that.
Cool. Okay. Thank you so much, SVU Fangirl 19, for writing that review for us. And let's see what else. We already talked about some news and things like that. Like, what else do we need to go over?
It's done.
It's done. This is it.
Put a fork in it.
Put a fork in it.
I mean, there's nothing to predict because...
Oh, wait. Reload the page, Lauren. I just left one. Sharon! Hold on, everybody.
I don't think they go through that quickly, boo. I don't think really? It does.
How fast does it happen?
I think because like, iTunes has to reload like, iTunes. It.
What?
It takes days, yeah.
Damn it,
so
Sharon.
So we'll see you. Season 19, episode
You know what,
one.
Sharon? I may just write a little note to myself to take a look at this next week and... Record a special reading
on her IG for us all. Instagram story because that's yeah, where she's always in.
It is where I'm always am, but I'll tweet it so you guys can all see it and it'll live forever.
Dum dum dum.
So okay, there's a lot of talking happening, which I love. I watch Black Hollywood Live, so I won't miss Jesse. LOL, I'll see him. You guys are better than the actual show. Audrey, thank you. Oh, no. Ariadne, Audrey, lately they have been. Thanks. What the heck?
Way
that's
to check
rude.
Them.
You guys are hilarious. Okay, so iTunes is rude. I know, right? Okay, so you guys, this is it. We don't want to say goodbye. We're dragging this out. But thank you so much for tuning in this season and for being here with us on every episode, especially when we've had so many random hiatuses and like weird scheduling with when the show's actually airing. Putting up with our jokes and all the commentary. We love talking to you guys. It's so much fun. So, yeah, in the meantime, I currently don't have other shows happening, which I need to check that situation out. But where are you and where can everybody find you?
Like they just said, over at Black Hollywood Live, Sundays, Reality Check, talking reality TV, Wednesdays, On the Beat, talking music, Thursdays, talking hot topics.
Oh my goodness. And then on
Fridays, you guys can check me out at dashradio.com. Search iCraft, Nostalgic Pop Radio, 5 to 7 p.m. Boom. You guys can check out my Instagram, though. Everything's there, at DJ Jesse J. Thanks.
I love it. And you guys can find me. I'll figure out what I'm going to be on AfterBuzz. But you guys can find me in the meantime on social media, especially Instagram, like Jesse said, at Lauren Salon, LaurenSalaun. And going to give some last shout-outs before we sign off here to all of you in the chat. Sharon, Audrey, Ms. Panda Chen, Anne-Marie, Morel, Areta, Corral. Ooh, sorry, Areta. Shauna. I already said Sharon, I think. Ariadne. I know there's more people.
Meryl.
Hanan, where the heck have you been? Michelle D. Katie Cat. Ashley D.
Hooch. There's Hooch one more was in there earlier.
Okay, Hooch.
Isn't that one?
Janelle. Ashley Lyle. Okay, I think I said everybody. There was some other person that I missed that I was trying to find, but I can't find them. Anyway,
but we love you.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Dun-dun.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.